Welcome to Raising Your Spirits. Our hope is to help you make positive changes by providing guided messages from Spirit. Tuning forks, crystals, and distance healing are how we pass those messages from Spirit to you. Sit back, relax, and enjoy your vibrational growth with us. Your host for this version of Raising Your Spirits, Tony Ginnis.
Welcome, everybody, to Tuning In with Tony. Today's episode, we're going to be talking about fate. This is a really huge subject. This comes up quite often in sessions, and this comes up quite a bit in people when they're talking about what is fate and what do I have control over? Because it's really about something in that area. First of all, today's color is red. It's a nice fire engine red, and it is actually linked to perfection of all things. And as soon as that came up, perfection, it says, okay, how does that work? Because, you know, usually red is a root chakra, it's a tribal thing, but we know that people aren't perfect, that kind of thing. And he says, it's not about that. He says, fate itself is an absolutely perfect machine. Nothing needs to be changed. It's perfect. It is perfect in its own way. It is people that want to change it, that want control. That's what makes it imperfect for your journey. But fate itself is absolutely perfect because you can't change it. Anything that's supposed to happen in your life has already happened or is about to happen or is happening now. And there's nothing we could do. Sometimes we'll say to ourselves, how on earth did I manifest this person? Or how did I manifest being in this position? I really didn't do much. And that's fate coming in. That is something that's supposed to happen regardless whether you're ready for it or not. And yes, we do have a certain amount of control along the way. I looked up what fate is in definition. And what the dictionary has said is that fate is a development of events outside a person's control, regarded as predetermined by a supernatural power. It's amazing. We'll talk about that in a second. The course of someone's life or outcome of a situation, something that is destined to happen. It's quite amazing that even in the dictionary, something has to be supernatural for it to be outside of ourselves. And it isn't super anything. It's just natural. It's natural. What makes it super is we have to say that word for people to perk up. It's part of our belief system. So I'm not really a fan of that particular definition. However, it is a control, a series of events that happen that is outside of ourselves, that we don't have any control over. And thank God we don't. Because if something is supposed to happen to us that will make us grow, we don't want to push that back. We don't want to have to hold on to anything because that will stunt our spiritual growth, that'll stunt our mental growth, and so on. We are beings that have come into this physical form to grow. Whatever you might be thinking that you have a purpose in life, that is all true to a point, but really we come in to grow. Our physical, mental, spiritual, everything is about that. This is where I am today. Where will I be tomorrow that will be better? That is the human conditioning. Animals don't do that. You know, the buck, the deer buck, they don't say, oh, it would be so nice to have a larger set of antlers next year. I'm hoping I'll get to like 12 points or 18 points. They don't do that. It's just natural for them to evolve in the way they do. But humans have this particular attribute because we want to get better all the time, and that's what we're made for. We come in with our energy, our spirit, our soul. Our soul has to grow through our physical existence. Animals don't really do that. They're here for whatever time. They follow whatever the energies are on this earth, and then they die. That's it. But they go on for millions of years the same way. A lobster millions of years ago, it was the same lobster, pretty much. I mean, there's some differences, but pretty much the same thing as now. So there is no growth in that way. So our soul, when we come into a human, that's something very special. Because it's riddled with all kinds of destinies and fate and purpose, and there's goals, and we have the vision to look forward. Of course, we have the vision to look backwards, and that holds us back if we are too focused on those things. But we have that choice. We have the choice. Freedom of choice is our inherent right, our inherent energies. You know, in Roman mythology, they regarded fate as three goddesses that presided over the birth and life of a human. And each person's destiny was thought of as a thread or that spun that can be measured and cut in a specific way. And what that means, just in interpretation I'm getting from spirit, is that even before we come into physical form, When we are energy only, we're just non-physical, we want to come in, our fate is not presided, it's not set. It's only when we say, okay, now I want to come in. Now, whether it's your turn or whether you're supposed to wait, it doesn't matter because we have choice even in non-physical. But when we want to come in, and as soon as we come in, our fate is set for that life. There's a certain amount of things that will happen, and that's how it goes. It's like going to a play. Imagine going to a Broadway play and the curtain never comes up. It's the same thing through for the 2 hours. Well, how boring would that life be? But what happens is the curtain comes up and you have no idea what to expect. And as things are coming, you're going with the flow and you're trying to understand and go through it as everything is going through, right? That's really where things are. The Romans had a thing regarding fate, and they called it amor fati. And it is a Stoic belief, which means love of fate. It is a concept that encourages us to accept and embrace whatever comes our way. It is the idea that all events, positive or negative, are to be accepted with enthusiasm, rather than regret, complaint, or resentment. It is not about resigning oneself to fate, but actively participating in life with full acknowledgement, full knowledge, that hardship is a necessary part of our journey. By loving and accepting fate, we gain a sense of fulfillment and mental fortitude. This enables us to face any challenges, obstacles, or situations that is difficult with a balanced mind. That is their belief. A lot of people have a really hard time following fate. They figured that they should be somehow in control, and we are. We have the control of choosing whatever it is that we need. Whatever it is, what we need, whatever that is, we have that control. We have that freedom. But if we go further than the jurisdiction of what that freedom really entails, it's not to change fate. It is not to change our destiny. Oh, I don't want to go in this dark cave or in my closet, in my inner darker part of me. I don't want to go there. But all the events around you are trying to signal you to actually go there so that you can move on. One of the things, there's a couple of big ones that really get in the way and people have a problem with fate. And this is where the anxiety comes from. This is where depression comes from. Because although we can't change fate, it's really tough on some people because things happen anyway. And this is where it doesn't matter whether you think you're ready or not. If you are destined to find an amazing person in your life, very loving, very spiritual, very, you know, like they just know you. But along the way, you get angry and you don't get rid of that anger. That is your choice. right? You don't get rid of the resentment, the revenge, or the rage, whatever it is that's going on with you. And so before the fate comes in and fate gets you both together, they'll try everything to try to get you to just address your anger. Because this new person coming in is very loving, is like an angel. And you're going to lose them if you push them too hard or get to the point where you don't care for them, you take them for granted, and so on. So somehow, they're trying to get you to release that. And with your stubbornness, not your stubbornness, but with some humans, their stubbornness is right there. They'll just hold on to it. It's like hugging a cactus. Doesn't matter. I'm just going to hold on to this. It hurts, but it's familiar. I know it. It makes me angry, but I don't want to talk about it. They'll say, okay, well, here they come, because we can't hold back faith any longer. They can delay it a little bit. Not much. They'll delay it a little bit. But ready or not, here it comes. And so only what will happen is that amazing person will just take so much of your abuse, of the abuse of that person, and just say, okay, I've had enough. I can't do this. We could be soulmates, but I can't live like this. I have a very high standard personally, and I really love myself. I don't think we're going to find happiness in this relationship. And they leave. Leaving you, leaving that person, I mean, with the point that there's regret, there's resentment, now there's revenge, now there's even more anger. You see, we have control. We have control over the wrong thing. We have control of it, but we're not controlling any of those things that we need to along the way. So here's where it is. When you have a belief, and this is really where one of the attributes that gets in the way of this fate, one of them is that we as humans are carrying around beliefs, systems of other people. The time that you were a little boy or a little girl, you had coaches and counselors and parents and grandparents, perhaps. You had neighbors, friends, all kinds of people in your village, in your street, that affected you, that molded you to who you are. All of them had different beliefs that they imposed upon you. Some you had to do just for safety, which was some great things, but other things were not. Like talking back, and if nobody said anything, oh, I guess this is a good thing. And then later on you found out that, oh no, talking back and being rude and being disrespectful is not what people like. And they won't put up with it for very long. If you look at the lifestyle of a person living in the mountains or a person living in the city, vastly different belief systems, as you can agree. And so their life and their belief systems will be different, but they will be shaped by other people. So just so you're aware of that, doesn't mean you have to be overly cautious of what's coming in, but just be aware that many of us are holding on to belief systems of other people that have nothing to do with you. Okay, basically, it's their baggage you're holding on to. You don't have very much baggage. When you came in, your baggage was very little. In fact, if your previous life, we talk about past lives, if your previous life was very tranquil and very good and you treated people with respect and there's no karma, you come in with nothing. You have no baggage. If you do have baggage, let's take the worst scenario where, let's say, you were not a very nice person in a previous life or one of the lives, and you deceived people and you hurt people in many ways. You built up, yes, some karma there, and it's like a bank account. You have to sort of balance it off. In this life, it won't take you very long to clear that. It might have taken you all of that lifetime to build up that not so great karma, but it's very easy to clear them. Because as fate would have it, as they say, those people will come into your life and do the same thing to you as you did to them. If you deceive them, well, they'll be deceiving you. If you wrong them or if you hurt them in some way, they will come back and hurt you in some way. If we respond by those things with anger and revenge. Well, then, okay, that act basically balanced everything off. Now your revenge now reenacted or reactivated your karma again. So it sort of never keeps stirring. This is why when things happen to you in a certain way, and there's no other way but just to forgive, let it go, that kind of thing. They don't say that just because, number one is, yeah, it'll be less of a burden. But number two, it might have been something that had to happen to balance your karma. Now, most people don't have access to whether or not how much karma there is in your life. The ones that are connected spiritually, and I wasn't connected, you know, like before 16 or 18 years ago, I was just like a residential mover, and I did my life like most people, just worked hard. You don't have access to all the things that could happen in your life. It wasn't until I became more focused on myself and more focused on my work inside of me that I was told that, yeah, there was a point in my past lives that I wasn't a very great person. And so it didn't take me very long. It took me about a year to clear it all. 1 year to clear a lifetime. And they said you could do it even faster. So in other words, when we come in, we don't come in with a lot of baggage. If your last life was okay, you won't come in with anything. Even if you do come in with something, it's not a big deal. You can clear it. All you have to do is just let things go, forgive, and learn. And from that, you'll get things. However, what happens is with the baggage part of it, if you start looking at really what the belief system is, let's say when you're looking at something and you see it in its truth. So you look at whatever the issue is. Okay, I'll give you an example in a minute. You look at an issue and then you look deeper and you look at it from a really big perspective and you start seeing that this is a lie. This is not logical. It doesn't make any sense. All right? And so as soon as your mind realizes that a belief that you used to hold on to is illogical and it doesn't make any sense, there is no letting go. It's gone. Because the mind will not hold on to something that is illogical. It will always go to the logical perspective. Does that make sense? Because that's what the mind does. It decodes and it wants to make sure you're doing the right thing. Okay? When you're doing the right thing and that's the perception, then there's no letting go. The letting go is done. The letting go happens if there's many, many levels of it letting go. So let's say you look at that belief and it still seems logical. But you talk to a good friend of yours and he says, oh, that doesn't make any sense. But to you, it makes sense, this belief system. Then when that happens, you got to go a little deeper. Let me give you an example. Let's say a mother wants to really enhance the lifestyle of her family. So she goes to work and starts working up the ladder, starts working long hours, and isn't with the family very often, right? And so after a while, she might feel that, you know, I'm not a very good mother because I'm never with my family. I'm not with my kids as much as I used to be. And so I'm not a very good mother, right? So let's look at the first layer of that. If you were to talk to a friend and you're saying, do you agree that I'm not a good mother? If this person would say that, the friend would say, oh my God, no. Are you kidding me? You still go to your kids' basketball games. You still take them to hockey. You come home. I don't know how you do it. You're like a superwoman. You're doing all these things. Plus, you get your part of the community making bake sales for the churches or for the schools. Like, what are you talking about? You're an amazing mom. When they look at that just from a first layer, and the mother still looks at it and says, no, I still don't feel I'm a good mother. Well, that only means that you have a deeper belief system way in the darkness that you have that belief and that is giving acceptance of this initial belief that it's okay. So when you look deeper and deeper, you find out that long time ago when somebody said, I want you to realize one thing, Sarah, let's say her name is Sarah. They say to her, you know, there's nobody in our family that ever finished high school. None of our families ever went to university, and we were always poor. I just want you to get it through your mind that, you know, if you're going to be working hard, don't go through a lot of stress. Just realize you're going to be poor for the rest of your life. Nothing's going to be enough. But what did that person hear? With all that vocabulary, won't be enough. I won't be enough. And if you can date that back to, let's say, age 8 or 9 when you heard this, maybe two people were talking, two family members, grandfather and dad, and says, oh, yeah, I know what it's like. Like we tried, it just couldn't make it. And, you know, we don't have any money either, so the father could say, the next generation. And then you're there listening to this. It's not enough. Something's not enough. And the moment you start addressing that, does that make sense that, okay, nobody in the family finished high school, that means I'm not enough? Well, that doesn't seem logical. When you look at it that way and you see the imperfection in the question, that's when you say, oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, that doesn't make any sense at all. The fact that my grandfather or father never went to high school, what difference does that make? I can do that. This is my life. As soon as you realize that and you see the truth, then all of a sudden that first concept of I'm not a good mother or I'm not a good father is also debunked. Do you see how that works? So it goes on the belief system. And so when something looks at you like that and it seems logical, then go deeper, because there's a deeper belief that is actually accepting that first belief. Another example, really quickly, is let's say somebody years ago said, you know, Johnny, I just want you to throw this ball and get it so that the pitcher can do it. So let's say he's a catcher and he throws the ball and it's always off. It's never, like, it never goes to the person. It bounces a couple of times before it gets to the person. And finally, the coach says, you know, you can't throw a ball. Like, you're not worth anything. You have no value. What Johnny heard was, you can't throw a ball. You have no value. What do you think happens? Fast forward 30, 40 years. The first part is omitted, and all they can remember is, I'm not that great at anything. Right, just by throwing a ball. So then let's say you go back and, you know, you meet someone who's either someone like me, or you meet a counselor, or they bring it up in some way where it dates back to this coach saying that. He says, Johnny, you can't throw a ball. You're not worth anything. The person would say, well, how does that apply to your life now? The guy says, absolutely not. What difference does it make if I can throw a ball or not? All I did was omit the first part, and it just seems like I'm nothing. I felt like I was nothing, and I still feel that way. So do you realize that just by throwing a ball, perhaps when not that great when you were 8, would have any indication that you can't do other things in later? Yeah, that seems illogical. As soon as you realize it's illogical, you'll let that go. But if all of a sudden he says, no, I still feel like there's something else. I still feel like I'm nothing. Then you go deeper, and then there might be something that says, you know, you're not enough. Or somebody would say, we've always been poor and you're just not enough. You'll never make it. Have you ever had deals where you almost get there and it goes sideways? Or you almost get something and at the very last minute, something happens where you don't get it. It's like, oh, I'm never enough. But I always have to do something more, and it's never quite enough. It's sort of frustrating. So when you go back that far to the deeper belief, then you realize, well, this is silly. Of course I'm enough. I am more than enough. And when you start feeling that, then it will make the first one also illogical, and it won't make any sense. Okay, so I just want you to realize that when a person looks at whatever they think is going on And it sounds logical. It just means there's a deeper one hiding that you need to address. And we have to start looking at these things, because the more of these kinds of issues that you address, then it's easier to go through your fate. Fate will happen no matter what. The question here is, are you going to be ready, and are you progressing as fate is happening? It's like a movie. It's going to happen no matter what. You know that it's going to happen. The second part of the challenge in following fate is self-worth. This is a big one, because when people say that I just don't feel that I can charge X, Y, and Z for my services, or I don't know how some of these people can charge $500 an hour for a coaching session, or how do they charge for that product or service, you know, and there's so many different levels of this. Like, I can never do that. And that's because their self-worth is always a ceiling. Always realize that your self-worth is always the ceiling of everything that happens in your life. So you will never make the money you want to make. You'll never find the fulfillment that you want to find if you always feel you're flawed. If you always feel that your self-worth is rather low. Realize that your self-worth is not something you were born with. It was something you learned. It didn't come with you as an energy, as a spirit coming into this earth. It was taught to you. And somewhere along the way, you heard this, saw this, experienced this, whether it be in a trauma, whether you saw it and it was traumatic just seeing it, whatever it was, it made an impression on you. And somehow it burned something in there. And being so deep, and maybe you were so young, as years go on, a lot of leaves and debris get onto that, and it's not as obvious as it once was, what the cause was. So sometimes we have to do a little bit of a backtrack to see, where did this ever come from? Why would I think that I'm not worth something? And even your health. Some people will have a very hard time with their health because they think their health is only going to be so much. And then when you listen to their vocabulary, just listen to it for a while and try to pick out things that they've already made the determination of how things are going to go with their own health. Things like, yeah, I'm going to the doctor's next week. I sure hope he won't find something. Or I'm just not working out as much as I'd like to. People in my age category, they have heart attacks all the time. But yet there are people that are 80 years old that are still in marathons. So it has nothing to do with the physical age, but it has to do with the attitude of where you are at whatever age you're at. People that are 16 are still having health issues. So it has nothing to do with age. It has to do with other things. So when you're looking at improving your self-worth, the first thing you want to look for is going into your inner engineering, your inner part of you, is what is going on that you always want to avoid. I don't want to talk about my dad, or I don't want to talk about my grandfather. He was a really mean son of a gun, and he was always ridiculing me and slapping me and hitting me with sticks. I don't want to talk about it. Well, let's talk about it, because obviously you have a problem with authority, and this might be partially it, because you said in, you know, an earlier session could be that he was in charge. When he walked into a room, it was like a military thing. He might have been in the military either way, but it was very strict. And that will give you an impression on authority, and you'll have a problem with authority even after your grandfather dies 20 years previous. You'll still have an issue with authority. And it was coming from that particular person, okay? But you have to go there not to relive what you went through, but to be able to look at it with a different set of eyes. Last week, we talked about the power of observation. This is the power of just looking at something, not being a player like in a team, like you're on the field actually playing the sport. You're a spectator, and you're just watching. Observing, making notes, looking at patterns, that kind of thing. But if you're going in to try and relive the trauma, no wonder you don't want to be in there. Who does? But that's not where the healing is. The healing is not to go into the trauma to reactivate and relive the trauma. The whole point is to go in and say, what have I learned? What is going on? What was the whole idea of an innocent, you know, five-year-old being experienced with this? And I still remember this 50 years later. What is this fear that I don't want to go in there? So when we start addressing our fear-based beliefs and whatever's going on with that trauma, and we start seeing it, okay, this is the part that has really scarred me. Then all you do is you take it out of your body. You find out where in your body it is. A lot of times it's in your stomach because that's part of control, right? That's your solar plexus. But it could be in other areas like your throat. So you don't want to say anything. So it could be in your throat. You want to just take out and have it where it's in the palm of your hand. I don't want to say the whole thing of what the class was last week, but I'm just giving you a very small excerpt. And you look at that and you just start talking to it. Start looking at it. What is going on with you? You're saying it from the first person, not something in you that's the problem. That what is going on with this trauma? Why are you with me? All right. The other class says it in more detail. We don't have the time to go through everything, but this is where we look at that trauma one thing at a time to find out how we can start lightening that up, relabeling it, re-looking at this in a different set of eyes. And as soon as you start doing that, things start to get lighter. You will still remember the event, of course. It's not about getting it out of your memory, but we want to get the emotional impact and the knee-jerk reaction out of there that used to be there. So when we look at something, it won't give you such an emotional charge or an emotional thing, all right? We want to be able to remove this, get all the uncomfortable energies out of there, and even though it will hurt, it will be really worth it. Because in time, as you start seeing the lies, and as you start seeing the deception, and as you start seeing all those things that happened, that, okay, this isn't me, you start gaining that self-confidence. Your self-worth will start to rise because now, since you see deception and you could see all these things and the lies, you're not going to put up with it. It's when you know the lies are happening and you do nothing that's probably the biggest detriment. When you know something is happening. One of the things that I've sometimes go through, and it's always hard to hear it as a human, but I understand it from a physical or and spirit perspective, is some people will admit that their child was abused, but they did nothing. They knew that at night the father would come in and beat the children in bed, but they did nothing. And then years later they said, I guess I should have done something. I should have stuck up for my kids. It's when you know something's happening, you do nothing. But when you are doing something and you're actively getting that out of there, you're actively getting that trauma out, you will get lighter. You will be in that better position. And then your self-worth won't take all the BS. You know the BS? Belief systems? That's what I wanted. Okay. You won't get anybody else's BS because you won't put up with it anymore because you're done. You want the truth. You want the mind games to stop. All the mind games to stop. You want everything just to be in its truth form. I'd rather know something and have it not great news than just get it sugar-coated and just have the impression that things are going hunky-dory. They're not. And it's okay. We want to know the truth. And that's really the whole essence here. So we don't want second best. We don't want deception. We don't want anything else other than the best for us. In this meditation, you're going to really like it. Had a chance to do it just before class. And it was great the way Spirit had set it up. What I want you to do when you hear the music and the thing, we're playing the water meditation. It's all about flow. It's all about going with the current, right? That's really what fate is. It's like a current. You can't stop it. And it's a bit like what some people will say Well, you know, in life, you might think that I'm not going fast enough. I want to surge my success, or I want to go faster. In that analogy, it's like being on a river, and you're in a boat, and there's a pretty strong current. You don't even have to paddle. You might just have to steer so you don't hit the rocks and, you know, keep away from the trees that are coming up and so on. And maybe the shallow areas, just stay in the middle where there's deep. And that's it. You just got to steer. But person might say, nope, this is not fast enough. So we put a 40 horsepower motor on there to whiz down the river and do what? You're now down the river and the journey itself, you really didn't really see anything. All you saw was whitewater. You wanted to be there because you thought you're going too slow, or you thought your life was not where it should be. You need to speed it up, or something's not enough. We have to add to it. And no, just can you not just sit back in a boat and watch the trees go by and just look at the loons? And look at the birds and maybe some fish jumping. You know, like these are all experiences. You don't want to miss that. It's not about getting to the end. When was the last time I don't know if anybody went whitewater rafting. You know, these companies that have these huge rafts and they fit about 20 people in there. The whole idea is to go down these rapids and, you know, for a couple of hours they rest and they go down to the end to get that experience, right? Well, what do you think it would be like is just before you put the raft in the water, you would say, okay, I have this great idea, guys. I got a fantastic idea. Why don't we take the raft, put it on the bus, go all the way down to the end of the river on the where the water is, where the river ends. We'll put the raft in and get this thing done. Yeah, then we're done. I mean, people would look at you. What are you, crazy? The reason we came here is for the ride. The reason we came here is for the experience, not to get to the end of the river. And so fate is like that. Fate has a certain place at a certain time, and everything is perfect. I'll tell you that fantastic example. It just happened yesterday. I had to go into the hospital to visit a friend. And I'm coming up to the hospital the night before it was raining a little bit and there was salt on the pavement and so on. And I stepped over a little bit of a mud and so on. And I crossed the road with another person and I could see this military person and they have one of those white hats. You know, the white hats, they look like an officer anyway. And just as I'm passing him and we're right in like literally a couple of feet apart, we're just passing, a gust of wind blew his hat off and it landed right in front of me and I caught it. And he says, oh my God, thank you for being there because it's white. If it would have been dirty, I couldn't have been able to use this hat. I would have had to go out to get it cleaned and you were at the right place at the right time. Because before I left, my question was, tell me that you guys are sort of following me and like there's a few things happening in my life that that there are delays and so on. And I'm just wondering where I am, you know, in this map. And they said, okay, we'll show you. And then when this happened, it came right on me. It's like I was at the perfect place at the perfect time. And the guy, he said, you've made my day just by being there. And out going through traffic, it took me almost 40 minutes to get there. I had to find parking, and just in that time, in those literally seconds, a wind blew and I caught it. So I had to be there. So what did I have to do to manifest to be there? Nothing. I just had to be there. Just show up. Fate is like that. When you just stop the thinking, stop the overthinking, just show up. Just be there. And it's massive. I made his day and I don't think I really did anything. But to him, I made his day because that hat would have landed upside down on the mud and with a white hat. Yeah, whatever. You know, the military, they're very, very picky about shiny buttons and the shoes shined and the hat has to be a certain way. Would have devastated. He might have had another hat. I don't know. But all I know is that he was extremely appreciative and I didn't do anything. So there's no stress. There was no anxiety. There was no nothing. I just there, caught it. Here you go. Here's your hat back. And he just, wow, you made my day. And how many times would that happen that you don't know about? How many times will you just show up as a person in a hockey game? Just to show up and the kid sees you in the stands. And you just show up. You don't think it's a big deal. But you've made his life. Because he will remember you in the stands for longer than you'll possibly imagine. He'll even remember it after you've long forgotten about it. Fate is like that. So in this meditation, I want you to pretend you're on a boat to start with. Pretend you're on a boat, whatever boat you want to get, whether it's a canoe, a fishing boat, a yacht, I don't care. Just put yourself on a boat, okay? Because you understand how flow works, how there's a current. There's this impenetrable current that just happens. Even if you paddle the other way, you're still going in the direction. That kind of current. For the first little while, I just want you to just take a deep breath in and just sit on this boat and just observe what's going on. Your energies may turn that you might see yourself on a highway. You might see yourself in the air in a plane. You might see yourself in another place, on a train, whatever it is. Okay, but just start with the boat first. If you stay in the boat, that's fine. But if your mind and your energy wants to go somewhere else, just follow it. That's what I want you to realize. In this meditation, just follow. Don't steer. You're not in control. There is a perfect current wanting to take you to a place. And what I want you to start looking at is all the things that you're noticing that's bothering you. You get onto a highway and a dog goes in the middle of the road. Well, that would be stressful, anxiety. So something like that, okay? I'm not trying to put visions in your head, but just anything that will bother you in this vision as you're going through your meditation. I want you to note it, and then we'll talk about it after. All right? Take a deep breath of this red energy, fire engine red energy, and exhale white. Or exhale whatever color that you feel that would be very calming for you. But inhale red. Okay? And we'll see you in about 15 minutes.
thank you for listening to Raising Your Spirits. If there is a subject you would like to hear in a future podcast or would like to book a session with Tony, reach out to his Facebook group at Janice Shields Natural Healing Center or group tuning classes with Tony on his online virtual weekly classes. The YouTube channel is Suzanne and Tony 17. That's Suzanne and Tony, all one word and the number 17. And the website is lovehigherself.com. Until next time, namaste.
Hey there. If you like this show, I want you to text someone right now that you think needs to hear this episode. If they are going through a tough time and they need some inspiration, let them know by sending them a link to this podcast. Let me know how it goes to see if it helped them. All the best.